Certainly we long for home. Selfish part of us doesn't kind of worries about how we might, what we might have to do to get there. But what a day that'll be to be home. Today we'd like to turn to the book of Luke, chapter 24. Book of Luke, chapter 24. We'd like to read verses 13 through verse 33. Verses that we have preached from many times. There's much to be gleaned from what transpires in these verses. In verse 13, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. They talked together of all things, of all these things which had happened. It came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? He said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour, and returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them." Back in chapter 23, we read that 3 days prior to our text, Christ was crucified and buried. In the beginning of Luke chapter 24, leading up to the verses that we just read, we see that early Sunday morning, some women went to the sepulcher of Jesus. They found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher, and they entered into the sepulcher, but they found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Two angels said unto them, He is not here, but is risen. These women returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest. We read that in verse 9. And what we read here in our text, of course, is a post-resurrection appearance of Christ. It took place on the resurrection Sunday on a road going from Jerusalem to Emmaus, which was a road of about 7 to 8 miles. We read that in verse 13. What we read in these verses involves two disciples in Christ. One of the disciples, from verse 18, we learned that his name was Cleopas. Who the other disciple was, we do not know. The name is not given. But what happened on that day, on that particular road, that is recorded here in these verses, was something that still happens today. And we see the end result of what happened that day is twofold. In verse 32, their heart burned within them. That is, it had an effect upon them personally. Verse 33, we read that they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. Their course was changed. So what happened that day on that road led to them being greatly affected inwardly. Their heart burned within. But it also caused them to change their course. I want to speak this morning on what a difference Jesus makes. What a difference Jesus makes. And oh, what a difference he made in the lives of these two disciples. The first thing we want to notice is the condition of these two disciples as they walked along this road going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Because their condition is emblematic of the life and walk of many of God's people. The first thing we want to notice concerning their condition is that their walk was filled with unbelief. Notice in verse 13, "And behold, two of them, and immediately raises the question, who is the them? Who is the them? Well, that takes us back to verse 9. "And returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the eleven apostles, and all the rest." That's the them. Two of them, not of the 11, but of those that were amongst that group. Now notice, concerning these individuals, as the women returned and told how the tomb was empty, told how the angel said, "He's not here, he's risen." They told all of these things, and then notice verse 11. "And their words seemed to them as idle tales." These two disciples heard the testimony of these women. And these two disciples, what they heard, they considered as idle tales. That is, they considered it as frivolous, trivial, and insignificant. Tales, fabrications. They considered it all a lie. They did not believe what these women had told them. We also know that they lacked faith from verse 25, what Jesus said to them. He said, "O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." They were slow of heart to believe. That means they were obstinate. That means that they were stubborn when it came to believing all that the prophets had spoken. They were slow of heart to believe. That is, they were hesitant. They were hesitant to believe what the women said. They were hesitant to believe what the prophets said concerning the resurrection of Jesus Christ. They were very reluctant in believing all that the prophets have spoken. And that word "all" there is significant. All that the prophets have spoken. We're not to pick and choose what to believe. We are to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Yet these two disciples, amongst all the rest, and including the 11, were very reluctant to believe. Their reluctancy to believe is really the root of their condition. Everything else we read about them that we want to notice today, it all goes back to this: unbelief. It all goes back there. Secondly, notice where they were going. They were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Everyone's going somewhere. Everyone is going in some particular direction. Everyone sitting here this morning is going in some direction. Spiritually, you are going in some direction. These individuals were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Now, Jerusalem to the Jew was the city of promise. It was the city of purpose. It was the city of the presence of God. Emmaus really is just returning to the common, returning to the routines of everyday life. So upon the report of an empty tomb, and as a result of their reluctancy to believe what the women said, and to believe all that the prophets said, they are leaving Jerusalem, and they are headed in the direction of Emmaus. Leaving Jerusalem, they were withdrawing from the fellowship of the 11. They were withdrawing from the fellowship of God's people. And they were heading toward the commonplace. Again, this is one of the results of their reluctancy to believe. If you're going in the wrong direction, if you are withdrawing from fellowship with God's people, it is because you have a reluctancy to believe what God has said. And that was the case here. We see also, as they're walking, they're talking amongst themselves. Now that's dangerous. It's a dangerous thing for two people who are reluctant to believe to have a conversation with one another. That's dangerous. Because these two individuals are going to bring each other further down. They're in the same condition. And they do not help each other in their conversation with one another. That is why When people decide to withdraw from God, they seek out the most unspiritual person they can find. So don't find it flattery if they seek you out. We see they were caught up in human reasoning. Verse 15. It came to pass that while they communed together, and then notice, and reasoned. It's dangerous when we are reluctant to believe and then we begin to reason. But you see, that is one of the results of a reluctancy to believe. The next step is we've got to believe something. So we began to reason amongst ourselves. So they began to, they're talking about what has happened the last several days. And they began to reason about these things. The one that they had so revered, the one that they had so loved and followed, had been crucified, had been put in a tomb, but now that tomb is empty, the women said that he's alive. But we didn't see him. We have no evidence that he's alive. In fact, what the women told us we consider as idle tales. And so they're going along and they're discussing these things. And they're trying to figure it all out. Listen to someone who is reluctant to believe try to figure things out. I mean, they're a mess. They are a mess. And these two individuals were a mess as they're trying to reason. We see also they were spiritually blind. We see in verse 15 that Jesus himself drew near and went with him. And then we read in verse 16, but their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. That is, Jesus began to walk with them. Jesus, the Almighty, the Eternal, the Immortal One, the Immutable One, the Infinite One, the Omniscient One, and on we can go. The All-Sufficient One, the Living One, the Conquering One, the Triumphant One, drew near and went with them. Their Savior, their Redeemer, their Shepherd, their Friend, drew near and went with them. The one who is above all, the one who is over all, the one who is beyond all, the one who is everything we need, drew near and went with them. The one who could fill them with joy. The one who could fill them with enthusiasm. The one who could fill them with passion. The one who could fill them with zeal and courage. He's walking with them. And they don't know who it is. They cannot see who it is. Jesus at this point is not real to them. This all goes back to their reluctancy to believe. When you are slow to believe, you become blind. You become blind to the presence of Jesus Christ. You become blind to the blessings of God. And you get further and further and further into your sad condition. So here they are, they're walking along. Jesus is now walking with them, but they don't know him. They don't know who it is. They just think it's a man that is decided to walk along. We see also that they were filled with sadness and dejection. Verse 17, he said unto them, what manner of communications are these? That is, what are y'all talking about? What are you talking about that makes you so sad? And then they, of course, would answer his question. We'll get to that in a minute. But as they walked along, they're talking with one another, they're reasoning with one another. Again, keep in mind, they're reluctant to believe, and these two individuals are talking amongst themselves, they're reasoning amongst themselves, and the more they talk, the more they reason, the sadder they get. And again, that's a picture. When people choose to fellowship with those who are reluctant to believe, this is where you'll get. What are you talking about that makes you so sad? So as they're walking along, they are no doubt heavy-hearted. They are no doubt very unhappy. They are downcast. No doubt they are discouraged. It's obvious that you could see this upon their faces. What are you talking about that makes you so sad? Obviously, they had sad looks on their faces. You could probably see their sadness in the way that they walked along that road. And certainly you could see their sadness in the tone of their conversation. But these were not happy individuals. And it all goes back to their reluctancy to believe. In their reluctancy to believe, they were caught up in human reasoning. And they were blind to the beauty of Christ, and all of this contributed to their sadness. Then notice, they were also filled with defeat. As they're walking along, they no doubt look defeated. As they talk with one another, they no doubt sound defeated. And as they answer Christ's question, notice verse 21. In verse 19 and 20, they say, talk about how Christ was crucified. But then notice verse 21. It says, we trusted. Past tense. But we trusted that it had been he which had redeemed Israel. We believed that he was the Messiah. They're defeated. And he said, and beside all of this, this is the third day. And he said that he was going to rise. And we haven't seen him. And we trusted that he was the one. Oh, they're defeated. Their hopes had been shattered. They have lost all confidence in Jesus Christ. They had lost all confidence in his ability to do what they thought he was going to do, and that was to redeem Israel. So these two disciples, they're frustrated. They're disappointed. They're disheartened. And if you're frustrated and disappointed and disheartened and discouraged, don't pick out somebody that's in the same condition and carry on a conversation with them. But that these two, that's what they're doing. They're talking to one another. Consequently, their enthusiasm that they had just a few days before has evaporated. Whatever passion they had, that's gone. Whatever sense of victory they had, that's all gone. There is now no ambition. We're just going to go back to Emmaus and live the rest of our lives. There's no zeal. There's no joy. So instead of tarrying at Jerusalem with God's people, we're just going to go back to Emmaus and live the rest of our lives. They were sad. They were defeated. And it all goes back to the fact that they found the promises of God to be as idle tales. It all goes back to the fact that they were slow of heart to believe all that the prophets had spoken. We see also that they were filled with confusion and fear. In verse 22, they said, "Yea, and certain women," those are the ones we read about earlier, who went to the sepulcher, "certain women also of our company made us astonished." That is, they filled us with confusion and fear, these women, by their report. In other words, all that we can see is chaos. All that we can see is confusion. And then notice, again, it all goes back to, they thought the report was frivolous and they were slow of heart to believe. But as you read what they are saying to Jesus Christ, they speak of Christ in the past tense. Christ was no longer pertinent. Christ was no longer relevant to them, in their minds. They had made professions of faith concerning Jesus Christ. No doubt they had seen some of his miracles. No doubt they had heard his teachings. And they found all of that to be very exciting. They found all of that to be exhilarating and enlightening and uplifting. But all that's in the past. That's all in the past. Their experience and their enjoyment of Jesus was all in the past. They crucified him, past tense. They buried him, past tense. He's gone. Everything was past tense. They who once saw Jesus has the only answer to all their problems and all their difficulties and all their needs and all their circumstances. And now he's in the past. It's all in the past. Christ is no longer relevant to their present situation. And those two disciples, like many today, they are reluctant to believe the promise of the Lord. They look at the promises of God as frivolous, as trivial, as insignificant, as idle tales. Having done this, they become confused. And they begin to look for answers. But they begin to look for answers amongst human reasoning. Reasoning with one another. They're looking, they're searching for answers. They're looking and searching for something to make them feel better. To give them what they once had. But that will not be found. Human reasoning. And as they continue to reason, they become sad. Even more sad. And they become even more discouraged and even more frustrated. These two disciples are living lives of defeat. And they have no confidence in Jesus Christ. And therefore, they have no passion for the Lord. They have no ambition. They have no fervor. They have no zeal for the Lord. Because they've lost their vision of Jesus Christ. But I want you to notice today that these two disciples, though it describes the condition of many of God's people, these two disciples did not continue in that condition. And if this describes your condition today, you do not have to continue in that condition. We see that what happened on that Emmaus road changed and altered their lives. And it can still happen today. What a difference Jesus makes. I mean, who made the difference in these two disciples' lives? Jesus. Did their circumstances change? Is that what made the difference? Was it the human reasoning that made the difference? No, that's not what made the difference. That's not what caused them to have this burning within their heart. That's not what caused them to change their course and to go back to Jerusalem. What made the difference was Jesus. And he is still the one who makes the difference. So let's look at what happened. What these two disciples needed more than anything was they needed to meet Jesus all over again. And often we get ourselves in that condition where we just simply need to meet Jesus all over again. So here they are on that Emmaus road. And as they're traveling, they have a fresh realization and revelation of Jesus Christ. And without that, they would have continued in their sad condition. And they would have continued going in the direction that they were in. Again, we read in verse 15, Jesus himself. He didn't send a representative. Jesus himself drew near and went with them. How thankful we are that there have been numerous times, innumerable times, in our lives when we were in a bad state, we were in a bad condition, and we were headed in the wrong direction, and Jesus drew near. And what a difference. What a difference it made. So here are two disciples. Their faith, their confidence has been shaken. That happens. There isn't anyone here that can say, my faith and confidence has never been shaken. I'm sorry, I don't believe you. It happens. And when our faith and confidence is shaken, what happens next? Our hope begins to wither. And when your hope begins to wither, your joy begins to evaporate. And now you find yourself living in defeat. Not only living in defeat, but you take on a pessimistic attitude. And you begin to head back to just a common, ordinary life. God's people were never meant to just live the common, ordinary life. But Jesus drew near and went with them. And as Jesus walked with them, They began to tell him everything. That's where it begins. You've got a wrong spirit. You're headed in the wrong condition. What you need today is for Jesus to draw near. And when Jesus draws near, now you need to tell him everything. And that's what they did. They began to tell Jesus everything. They weren't correct in everything they said, but they told him everything. A lot of things were what they supposed. But that's not the point. They told him everything. You want to feel better? Tell Jesus everything. You want to feel more miserable? Pick out someone that's in just as bad a shape as you and talk to them for a while. If you want to feel better, you go and tell Jesus everything. They needed to be told the real cause of their trouble and anguish. Jesus asked them, "What manner of conversations are these that you have to one another as you talk, as you walk, and are sad?" That is, what are you talking about as you walk along that makes you so sad? The disciples then began to tell Jesus. And as you read what they told Jesus, these disciples believed that they had a legitimate reason for their sense of hopelessness. Yes, Lord, we are miserable. Yes, Lord, we are frustrated and we are discouraged, but we have good reason. They believe that. I mean, read what they said. The reason we're sad is because they crucified Jesus. And they buried him. And we thought that he was the one. But where is he? They thought they had legitimate reason for their misery. Notice verse 20. And how the chief priests and our rulers were miserable because of something that our chief priests and rulers did. And then they go on to say, and there were certain women. Lord, you want to know why we're miserable? We're miserable because of what the chief priests and the rulers did. We're miserable because of what those women said. Jesus said, "Oh, fools, that's not the reason you're miserable." And he told them there in verse 25, the reason you're miserable is because you're slow of heart to believe all that Jesus, all that the prophets have said. You want to continue in your misery, you just continue to dwell upon what you think makes you miserable. But the truth is, it's because we're slow of heart to believe. So Jesus puts it all on them. These individuals, if their condition is going to be changed, they needed to know the real cause of the problem, so Jesus tells them. They also needed to learn more about Jesus. So Jesus, in verse 27, he opened the scriptures, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, and he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Jesus taught them about himself. And if this is your condition today, you need to learn more about Jesus. And you need to be talking to people who are going to tell you more about Jesus. This is how you get out of this condition. They also needed to be brought to the place where they realized their need of him. So they're walking along. Jesus is explaining to them from the scriptures.
And I imagine as they're walking along, there were times in that walk where they just stopped. And Jesus was explaining. So I imagine this took a while.
And then they're brought to a place. They drew nigh unto the village in verse 28, whither they went. That is, they're almost at Emmaus. And he made as though he would continue to go. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. Don't leave. We want you to stay with us." Why? Because the conversation that he had been having with them was so engaging. It was so heavenly. It was so instructive. It was so sweet. It was so delightful. It was so powerful and moving and beneficial to their souls. They said they constrained him. That is, they held unto him by force. And they said, "Abide with us. Please don't go. Don't leave us." Have to be brought to that place where you're willing to grab hold of Jesus Christ and refuse to let go. Don't leave us. And then notice that you needed to have closer fellowship with him. It came to pass in verse 30. Well, in verse 29, "And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass that as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them." They received from Christ. They received from Christ. You want your course altered? You want your condition changed? You need to receive something from Jesus Christ. And they received from Jesus Christ. In other words, they experienced him more. This Jesus, which was past tense, they're now receiving from him. And they're now experiencing him presently. Verse 31. They needed to have their eyes opened. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. They knew him, who he was. They saw the risen, victorious, triumphant Christ. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. Now the result of all of this, they felt something very special. Verse 32, "And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way? And while he opened to us the scripture." You know what? Now they believe what the scripture said. Now they believe what the scripture said. They had a fresh understanding of the Word of God. They had a fresh understanding of Christ. Their eyes were opened and they knew him. And immediately their turmoil was replaced with peace. Their anguish was replaced with relief. Their sorrow was replaced with joy. Their disappointment was changed to relief. Their hopelessness was changed to hope. Their darkness was changed to light. Their weakness was changed to strength. That sense of uncertainty that they had now was replaced with certainty. And that discouragement that they had, they're now encouraged. And that sense of defeat that they had is now replaced with a sense of victory.
And now they have ambition, they have zeal, they have fervor, they have passion, they have excitement for Jesus Christ. Their condition is changed. Again, why did their hearts burn within them? Was it the result of the human reasoning between two people who were reluctant to believe? No. Many are trying to find that burning sensation, trying to find that passion, trying to restore that passion. And they try to do it by talking to others who are just as sad a shape as they are. But that's not what brought about this burning of heart. What brought about this burning of heart, what made all the difference, was Jesus. Jesus makes a difference. But they not only felt something special. Again, Baptists for many, many years have preached against feeling so much to the point where they take all emotions out of serving Christ, and that's wrong. These disciples felt something. And what they felt, felt pretty good. They not only felt something, but their course was changed. They had walked the 7 or 8 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, leaving the 11, content to go back to living the routine life of Emmaus. But when Jesus showed up, they rose up the same hour. They didn't wait till the next day. They rose up from that table that they had been sitting at. Remember, Jesus took bread and was feeding them. They rose up that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And I want you to know, the 7 or 8 miles back to Jerusalem was far different. They had a far different attitude than when they left Jerusalem and headed to Emmaus. Their attitude was changed. Their spirit was changed. Their condition was changed. Why? Jesus made all the difference. Folks, if you're miserable today and you're waiting for circumstances to make you feel better, I hate to break the news to you, but it's not going to happen. It'll be very short term. What you need is what these two experienced on that Emmaus road. So for those of God's people who are slow and hesitant in believing all the Word of God, as a result, you get caught up in human reasoning, which just brings you further into the depths of sadness and dejection and defeat, and causes you to lose whatever passion and ambition and zeal that you had for Christ. You begin to lose all of that. You no longer have a clear vision of Christ, and you're just content to live the routines of the world. And no matter how many good reasons you think you have for being in such a condition, and everyone who is in that condition thinks they have a good reason for being there. They all do. It's just like those who leave. They all think they have a good reason for leaving. But you don't. It all comes back to you. O ye fools, and slow of heart to believe. If this is your condition today, you need what these two disciples experienced on that Emmaus road. What we need is to have our hearts warmed by meeting Jesus again. Remember when you first met him? Oh, how it warmed your heart. Didn't matter what else was happening. When you first met Jesus, it changed everything.
And no doubt there are some, you're saved, but you need to meet them all over again. You've been living as a stranger to Christ, and you need a fresh meeting with Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you today, that'll make a difference. That'll fix many things. That'll solve many things. Oh, what a difference Jesus makes. You and I that are saved, we're living testimonies of what a difference Jesus can make. I don't know where I would be had not the Lord saved my soul. I do know this, I wouldn't be here. And I would not have enjoyed the things that I have enjoyed. And I would not have had the life that I've had. And I've had a wonderful life. Not because circumstances have always been great, but I've had a wonderful life with Jesus Christ. I've had a wonderful life knowing the Lord. And there have been many times when I began to go in the wrong direction. And I began to have a bad spirit. But Jesus himself drew near and made all the difference in the world. I'm living proof, you're living proof that Jesus makes a difference. Amen. He makes a difference today. Would you trust him? Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse of song.